The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Looking at the Fox News crawl right now, Ted Cruz is on, Senator Ted Cruz. You know, he looks better with the beard. I have to admit, not everybody looks good with the beard, but, you know, before he had that Dracula kind of Nosferatu kind of look, there's a little less of that now. Maybe the facial hair helps. Good for him, though. Good for him. I like Ted. Always have. 7 minutes after 8, and joining me right now, we have Al on the Applegate. Al, how you doing? What's on your mind?
Hey, it has occurred to me, you know, we all have a little bit of an exposure to the Spanish language because it's on signs and billboards, and there are the Spanish culture is next door neighbor to the United States. And it has occurred to me that Spanish is a binary language. Everything is L and La. And I wonder if we can do something to the Spanish language that would make it a more inclusive language. Hmm. Maybe introducing Zell and Za.
Zell and Za. You know, I am wondering kind of how the masculine and feminine, you know, in the Spanish culture for the most part does not go through such absurdities as Western culture seems to be doing. You know, at this point in time,
evolved enough. We need to help them evolve to be like the West.
Well, notice there was even that guy I talked to a few weeks ago. He sent me an email, and his pronouns were we and they, right? And I'm thinking to myself, all right, first of all, how many people are inside you? Okay, is what I'd like to know when I have someone give me that.
My personal pronouns are I, me, my, and mine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm looking here, Spanish pronouns. Well, I suppose they already can do it. If your pronoun is we and you're a member of the Island of Misfit Humans, you could just say my pronoun is nosotros or nosotras. But even then, that's defining a female or a male, right? And the whole idea is you're not supposed to be able, you know, you're supposed to be gender neutral. So how do we deal with a nosotros or a nosotras, right?
Gender inclusive. So we have to ask them to come up with some, expect them to come up with some new pronouns so that they can include everybody.
All right. And so when you have the gangbanger shows up with the face tattoo in Southern Oregon with his load of fentanyl, and we need to ask him then what is his preferred pronoun, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good. All right. Are you nosotros, nosotras? And, of course, if you say nosotras, something tells me the gangbanger with a face tattoo will hit you hard. Just saying. Okay? Maybe worse, you know, because we need more diversity. More diversity crime here in Southern Oregon.
That's it.
All right.
You're the pot this morning.
So how do we do that? We'll just leave that an open question. How do we bring inclusivity into the Spanish language? Oh, my goodness. All right. Captain Bill Simpson will join me here in a couple of minutes. The latest in the very diverse, biologically dead Klamath River situation. He's going to talk about that with me here in the next few minutes. All right. Price of gold. You know how I told you how gold is just boring, you know, for the most part? You know, it doesn't, there's not usually a lot of drama around gold. It's not sitting around there doing mean tweets on Twitter or anything like that. It's just gold. It's just steady, secure. It has thousands of years of record of being a storage of wealth, a store of value, right? And right now, that store of value is up to $2,151. $2,152 just popped to $2,152 right now. What is Mr. Gold telling you right now? Well, if you have a lot of scrap gold, or maybe gold you want, maybe you're thinking $2,152 is about it. Then you want to sell. Well, if you want to do that, J. Austin & Company Gold and Silver Buyers, Ashland Grants Pass, 1632 Ashland Street, and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. I mean, just great people. Ashland and Grants Pass, all right? They're reliable, recognized experts. They stayed open during COVID. They don't bend the knee to the BS here, all right? These are people that you need to do business with. One of my oldest sponsors here on the Bill Myers Show. So if you want to sell your scrap gold or your collectibles right now, they're happy to get the most value. This might be a good time. Maybe you're thinking, all right, I'm going to take a profit. Or I've got this stuff just sitting in the drawer and it's not doing anything. We'll take it over to Jay Austin. $2,152 an ounce right now. Now, if you're like me, and I know I am, I'm looking at $2,152 an ounce as, well, Everyone's no one's buying gold, I guess, except central banks. Now, what is it about big money and big central banks that are buying gold hand over fist, but they try to convince we little people to sell it? Huh. Well, I think I'm going to do what the central banks are doing and continue to accumulate. Well, you talk to your financial advisor, but one way or the other, gold, silver, various other precious items and collectibles, talk to Jay Austin. Jay Austin and Company, a gold and silver buyer, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland at 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. All right. Captain Bill next.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority in post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Newspapers have been in a slow train wreck for at least 20 years. Nobody was paying attention when the advice columns, movie times, stock reports, weather, and just about everything else you once needed newspapers for moved online. But the one thing that did not move was the most important. I'm Kim Commando, brought to you by Total AV. Get 85% off industry-leading security for all your devices at protectwithkim.com, protectwithkim.com. That one thing was the news itself, and that spells big trouble for us. The news business is very expensive. Ask Jeff Bezos how his purchase of the Washington Post is going. Vice is done, run out of money. A new website, The Messenger, ran out of cash in less than a year. More than a quarter of the newspapers that were in the business just 10 years ago are gone. Every other news company, the New York Times, NBC, Politico, the Associated Press, all of them cutting back. And we're left with social media news and big trouble. Join a 500,000 folks who get tech smart the easy way with my free newsletter at getkim.com. 37,000, 25, 1. Three numbers to remember to get the visibility and control you need to make the right business decisions instantly. 37,000, that's how many businesses have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system, streamlining accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, and more. And this year is NetSuite's 25th anniversary. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less. And finally, the number one. Because your business is one of a kind, NetSuite offers customized solutions for all your KPIs in one efficient system. It's one source of truth to manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need, all in one place. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist, designed to give you consistently excellent performance, absolutely free, at netsuite.com/Kim. That's netsuite.com/Kim to get your own KPI checklist free. netsuite.com/Kim.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
14 after 8, not that we're paranoid or anything, but we were told that everything about the Klamath the dam drawdowns, the dam destruction, oh, it's going to lead to just a wonderful unicorn, a unicorn fairy kind of existence, and the fish are going to be restored, and gosh, we're just going to spread some seed on the sediment down there, and flowers will bloom. Hasn't worked out that way, has it, Captain William E. Simpson? Welcome back to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. No, not really. I think it's been a really bad concept from the get-go. We've talked about it over the years, as you know, and KRRC is totally mismanaging this program. And, you know, we're learning more every day. We found out that they keep holding out Elwha Dam as their example. There's nothing even remotely comparable. I mean, there's just nothing comparable there at all.
Now, what's the difference between what happened with the Elwha Dam? And when was the Elwha Dam breached? How many years ago was that?
Oh, it was like, I think, 12 years maybe or something like that, 10, 12 years. But they let that down over a five-year period. They dewatered it over 5 years. So they'd let it down a little, and they didn't have toxic sediments either. So, you know, we have impacted sediments here. That's the bottom line. And the data shows it now. Siskiyou County, they did baseline before the drawdown and before the release of the sediments. They had baseline data. And then they haven't tested since, but since the letdown, they've been testing, like, I don't know, 20 miles down the river. They're going to have to start testing right under the dam and all the way from the Iron Gate down to Hornbrook. But the point is after the release of the sediment, their tests show that now they're saying that residents should not drink or be in the water of the Klamath due to high levels of arsenic, lead, and aluminum. But there's things that Siskiyou County does not test for that are in the CDM Smith report.
Could you tell me about that? So we're talking about just arsenic, lead, and aluminum. That's bad enough. Okay, we know that. And I'm not surprised. You know, and it's not surprised. You're going to see a certain amount of that in these sediments around here because of volcanic soils. You know, we know that part about it. But it's one thing to have them in the soils and sediment trapped when you have the water over it. And it's another thing to blow the dams out and then flood it all down into the fish habitat.
Well,
right?
Yeah, well, the important thing, Bill, is this, okay? When they're locked up in the sediment or in the ground, they're not in your well.
That's right.
And they're not. See, these are compounds that are they're bioaccumulated. That means that they build up in your body. So you could be taking in water that's below EPA standard as far as, you know, it's in there. It's lead or aluminum or arsenic or some of these other things, DDT or the analytes of DDT like DDE and DDD. You could take those in and below standard levels, but over time they accumulate in your body, and then if you're an animal in the river, let's say you're an invertebrate or a fish, they're bioamplified through the trophic chain, which means, you know, the bigger animal eats the little animal, so he gets all the accumulated bioavailable or bioaccumulated toxins, so he gets a huge dose right off the get-go. That's kind of like what's going on with Chilean sea bass.
Does this mean then that that animals that are foraging for what few fish are left in the Klamath right now, they're going to get a higher level of these toxins in their bodies, or the bears, things like that? Is that the kind of stuff we can talk about?
I mean, going forward, if we get fish back in the river, see, here's the thing, Bill. We have impacted sediments sitting in the reservoir. Now, the CDM Smith Stillwater study from 2009 and 2011, I mean, you have to practically have a PhD to go through that monster. It's written so that unless you read scientific jargon, everything's in acronyms. You got to keep track of 25 or 30 acronyms as you read through the tables. It's designed so the average American cannot understand it at all. That's how it's designed, by intent. But when you drill through it, now, you know, Michelle and I both have training in science, and we spent 6 hours drilling down on that thing. We were up till 2 a.m. reading it one night not too long ago. And when you drill down on that thing, they admit in there, first of all, they use the lesser sensitive testing, the Lutriate methodology instead of bulk sediment testing. They actually should have done both. But the point is they use the lowest level of detection that's plausible, that passes muster. And then what they did is they also have a million disclaimer statements in there to, of course, keep them out of litigation. You know, we expect, we think, estimated, could be, would be, might be, and so on and so forth.
Now, I want to be clear. This is the study that was used to help to half okay what they were going to do and saying everything was going to be all right, essentially, right, to blow the dams, right? Is that what I'm...
This was a study that was contracted by Pacific Corp in 2009. It was conducted from 2009 to 2011.
And they were doing this then, not to hurry you along here, I just want to make sure we get to the meat of this, though, that this was about providing political cover for destroying the dam because Warren Buffett wants it off his books. Okay? That's it.
Yeah, he needed scientific space on this. He needed to be able to say, well, we did some science, and it can do it. But I think there's an important thing that people need to understand here, because people keep saying it's not toxic. So, Bill, the thing is this, okay? When you look at this study, and you really need to understand science to understand what you're looking at, but when you look at this study, there's a million disclaimers. They're admitting in the study that they found furan, they found PCBs, dioxins, analytes of those things, arsenic, lead, chromium, you name it. I mean, the list, and there's some things, chemicals in there that I don't even know about, that are listed that they found in the sediment. Now, here's the important point. Some of them are just under the limits, and they remember, they used the lowest detection. They didn't do a combination of alterate and the bulk sediment testing, which is that's the gold standard right now anyway. They used the lower level of sensitivity for detection, and then they have all these disclaimers, and then here's the coup de grace disclaimers. They say, and we basically they expect and hope that through dilution, by letting all these things go down the river over time, through dilution in the river and its tributaries in the ocean, that they won't be a problem.
All right. In other words, the scientific study that was helping out the Klamath Dam removal was essentially, it's a blow it up and pray, right? Blow it up and pray that everything goes okay?
Well, you can't. Well, probably worse, because there's indicators that we got a problem. And that's, see, Dr. Paul Hauser, the scientific integrity officer.
He was the one that was fired, by the way, for actually telling the truth. He thought the science was really lousy in this dam removal, right? They fired him.
He said he looked at it, and he said he saw a lot of red flags, and most of it with regard to the sediment that's impacted.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even talking about the nitrates and the phosphates in there. And so, I mean, it's a mess. So the point is this. That sediment has got to get picked up. It cannot be planted. It's got to go away. And just like they said from the get-go, it's got to go away. That stuff's got to get scraped up and taken out of here and probably put in the desert or wherever. It's got to be sequestered. And the otherwise, here's what's going to happen. All those things that I just talked about, all the, you know, DDT, DDE, DDD, dioxins, PCBs, lead, aluminum, chromium, you know, arsenic, all of that is in there. And I don't care what level it's at. If it's just under the layer, when you err, you always err on the favor or in the favor of your citizens. You don't gamble with their health.
Yeah, you err on the side of caution for the safety, health, and welfare of the people.
Not what the
gangrene useful idiots are looking to do, or the people who are going to get money for restoration, or dare I say even
better fish run.
Yeah, Warren Buffett. Yeah, I don't want to jump on Pacific Corps too much. They've got a lot of their own problems here. But what I'm concerned about is that you still there? Hello, Bill. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, good. All right. Well, I was always here. But, Bill, so we have Siskiyou County Environmental Health reporting then that don't drink water, don't get into the river because of arsenic, lead, and aluminum. Is there anybody testing for the whole bunch of toxins that could be in that river right now? I don't know how much environmental health tests for in Northern Cal.
Well, no, and see, that's why we're asking the county to declare an emergency. The county can't afford that.
Oh,
if you're going to be doing the what, got to get tested. It's expensive. It's real expensive.
Like how expensive?
You got to test both the sediments and the water, both underneath the dam all the way down to Hornbrook, because we've got dozens of domestic wells in the alluvium there.
What would it cost? Do you know?
Oh my goodness, I we're talking. We're talking a level of chemistry. It's above the top 35. I'm just going to guess it's probably $1,000 or $1,500 per test, maybe more.
And how many tests would have to be made, do you think? How many places do you have to sample?
You probably need to be checking it probably monthly, I imagine. I don't know. Wells need to be probably tested. And I'm not a water quality expert.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is if it was my well and I think I'm getting intrusion water with all this stuff in it, and you don't know when it's going to reach your well either. You know, you're sucking water out of the alluvium and it's filling in from the alluvium. So over time, it pulls that stuff into your well. And it is in the river. It is all these things. And so, but the point is this, we're all going to go down to the county on March 12th, Tuesday, March 12th, or for the board meeting. And we're going to insist that the county declare an emergency for this reason. We want this mess to land right on Gavin Newsom's desk. Because that's what happens. When a county declares an emergency, it goes right to the governor's desk. And then it's on him at that point to determine what he's going to do. And we're going to ask that he send the EPA in here. EPA hasn't been anywhere around this. They're staying back. We're going to ask for the EPA to come down here and start monitoring the sediment in the water. We're also doing private tests, obviously. We also want financial aid for people who are impacted by bad water quality, and we also want financial aid for people so they can test their wells. Anybody that's within a certain distance of the river can afford to test their wells. And these are very reasonable requests, and it'll take a declaration from the county to do that of an emergency.
And we'll never know what kind of a problem we have unless people test, and they're expensive. And so I'm sure that the grifters in the system that for dam destruction pretty much figure this out. You know, it's like, well, it'll it'll be gone and done before we can be blamed for it. Maybe that's what the whole plan was.
We'll know when, but it'll take 5 to 10 years when the cancer clusters begin.
Yeah. All right. I'm speaking with Captain William E. Simpson. All right. Well, you know something? If I know how we can get, I'm only half kidding about this here, Bill. Why don't we just name the Klamath River Volkswagen, and then the EPA will be here to test it instantly. Okay, just say it's a Volkswagen diesel. Remember?
Yeah.
They'll go there. Right. Cheating. Yeah, will they come and test the Volkswagen diesel sediment from the KRRC dam blowups? Yeah, that's it. Hey, Bill, hang on just a second. We'll be right back, and people want to ask you a question or two, and then we'll see what they have to say. Captain William E. Simpson, naturalist, Northern California. He's been all over this Klamath Dam removal problem.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MillettConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
The Joe Pags Show.
And she sits down today, did not have to testify, and I had to wipe my tears. I was crying so hard, laughing at this thing. I don't know what the hell she was thinking by sitting down and testifying and completely annihilating herself. I mean, she contradicted herself. She has stacks of money at the house, it turns out. Boyfriend never visited her anywhere. It was so dangerous to live in the house that she left her 83-year-old father there. I mean, the whole thing, I'm going to go, what?
Evening, 6 to 8 on KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
You know, you hate to be the people to say I told you so, but a lot of people were saying I told you so about this Klamath Dam removal. And now we have... In all this, guys, under the guise of restoring the fish, don't drink water. Don't get in the Klamath River. Don't even look at it.
Yeah, you might get visual impairment.
That's right. High levels of arsenic, lead, and aluminum. Other than that, everything's just fine because we're restoring. We're restoring. In fact, you can just see all the fish that are, the fish are just going to sit out there and go, hey, we're just going to wait for those high levels of arsenic, lead, and aluminum and chromium to leave, and then we'll come back and spawn. Don't worry, we'll be back. You just wait.
Well, unfortunately, there won't be much spawning either because the clay has infiltrated all the salmon reds, all the gravel beds up and down the whole river. The contour of the river bottom has changed from the sediment deposit, and with the, they're doing their best to try to flush this down because they thought they were... Actually, when you read the CDM Smith, Stillwater was involved in that, by the way, from Berkeley. They were in that report. They were part of that report, okay? And they go, dilution. Their model is dilution is the solution for pollution. That's basically, they say that right in the thing.
Well, generally speaking, when it comes to problems, that is, they're right. They're right about that when you look at various... The difference, though, is that... You're causing pollution. You're actually intentionally causing pollution under the guise of restoring the system. you know, later. And it's kind of a fraudulent process here. Hey, let's grab a few calls. People may have some questions for you, Captain Bill. All right. Captain William E. Simpson is here. And we're talking about the dams and the water and everything else. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill, it's Wild Salmon.
Steve.
Two quick ones. One is, if they knew that dilution was their solution, why did they blow all four dams at once? If you logically were going to approach this, you'd blow one dam and let the water, you know, wash out the sediment until it cleaned up, and then you do to the next one. So they did this intentionally, and they knew it full well. It's not a mistake. It's a planned process. And the second thing, Bill, is the lava dam above John C. Boyle still there? Can you see it?
What do you say, Bill?
I'll take my answer on.
Do you know, Bill?
Yeah, I don't know what's up there above Boyle. I know that there originally were, like, I think, five lava reefs that blocked the river at one time or another. And then during the process where they were messing around behind Copco, they had a great big barge out there with a big excavator and dive equipment. So I don't know what they were doing underwater there, but probably recontouring the bottom in a way where nobody could see them. So because they did it underwater off a big barge. So these guys are slippery, you know. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them.
Captain William E. Simpson with us. Let me go to line three. Hi, you're with Bill. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. This is Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
Shady Cove.
Hi, Peggy.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Bill. I heard you a couple, maybe last week, saying that Lost Creek Dam was on the agenda. Is that true?
No, I don't think I said that. I think what I might have said is that they're keeping the diversion dam because that's necessary to send water to Tule Lake and down to the Pitt River, Sacramento River, to Gavin Newsom's tunnel.
Yeah, but that's in the Klamathville. The thing is, though, if you look at the green blocks, I think what we were talking about here, Bill, was that ultimately, you know, people have been saying that, well, don't worry about the federal dam system because, you know, the Pacific Corp dams, those were privately owned. We've been told that again and again and again, even though when you impound the water, you've created a public trust, but the courts apparently didn't agree with us on those sort of things. The thing is, the federally owned dams, which would include Lost Creek Lake, also the Snake River dams, and a whole bunch of other dams, including the Bonneville one, Green wants them gone. They want them all gone. And depending, it's all a matter of political power at this point. Would that be a way of looking at it, Bill? How much political power do you have on this juice?
Well, I think so. I think they're taking the politics and of, well, you know, you've got a change of power at the DOI. You got Deb Haaland running the DOI. You know, she's Native American. And, you know, she's.
The religion is no dams. No dams.
They want to remove a lot of dams and just in a reckless fashion. This project here is going to be an object lesson of how bad a dam removal can be. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be an object lesson of how bad dam removal is, because people around here, we have devastated the community here with this. It's been devastated. You know, I mean, how many people have to lose their lives essentially for a fish? I mean, it's crazy. This is crazy stuff that's happening, and it's just beginning, because these toxins are silent killers. They're in the background. The toxins in this sediment are going to leach out. If they don't remove these sediments from behind the dams now, they're going to leach out over time, and there's going to be continued erosion of the clay. The clay by itself is bad for it impacts fish gills. It impacts all kinds of little critters.
Okay, if this was all about the fish to start with, Bill, okay, which, of course, I just figured it was a stalking horse right from the beginning, are the tribal leaders in on the grift? And the regular tribal members are just going to get screwed by this? Or, you know, why would the tribal members be so in favor of this plan here if it was ultimately going to be bad for their for fish health and for the populations that depend on that, on the Klamath? Just curious. I'm trying to figure this one out. Just appears to be against their interests.
Well, I think there's in some of the tribes, and I'm not a tribal member.
I know.
But I saw a letter between the Klamath Tribal Council from Gentry, the chief of the Klamath, to the tribal council saying that he was very disappointed back during the KHSA because there was so much unrest with what he was doing that he actually had to get bodyguards because his own people were going to get him. I mean, you know, I think what's happening is that a lot of the tribal members are being misinformed and they don't realize that they've been sold a bill of goods here and that their wells, they're going to be down there suffering too because I've heard rumors that their well water smells like the river. Well, that means they're getting intrusion water from the alluvium into their well.
That means they're getting the toxins from that same source. Sure. Okay.
Absolutely.
Oh,
and
boy.
If the sediment stays, Bill, if we don't get rid of the sediment, we have to mandate the removal of this sediment. It's got to go.
In other words, do what was originally proposed to deal with the sediment behind the Klamath Dams. Originally proposal was to dredge it and get it out of there. Okay. Now you just have to dig it and get it out of there.
Well, it's easier now. It's going to be cheaper than dredging.
Okay. All right. Let's take a couple more calls here. Okay. Oh, okay. Give me a quick close on that, and I'll take a couple calls, and we'll wrap. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, basically what we've got is a toxic tea bag up here. You know, we can't let it sit in the water. It's just going to continually poison the water, and that's what it comes down to. I have skin in the game. I want fish to come up the river. I honestly want fish to come up this river, but it's going to take way longer if we leave this stuff here. So everybody, I hope everybody shows up down there at the board meeting. And so that we can speak to our supervisors down here so they declare that emergency. So
Tuesday what time?
You're ready.
Tuesday what time?
It's Tuesday the 12th at 9 a.m. So people get there early if you want to see.
All right. Let's grab a couple more calls and then we'll cut you loose, Bill. I appreciate your take on it. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
This is your horse lady.
Hello, horse lady.
Just as Bill was going to talk about that federal report and give us all a scoop off of it, somebody in Josephine County hit the emergency warning thing that makes that big noise and cut it off for about 30 seconds.
Oh, that was it. It's just set on automatic pilot, horse lady. You know, that wasn't a conspiracy, okay?
It cut right into the middle of Bill's conversation.
Well, I'm sorry. It just happened.
No. You don't have to apologize.
Well, no. It's a system we have to maintain to do that. That's not a conspiracy. It just happened. That was just an odds. It just happened, okay?
Well, I'll tell you a real conspiracy.
Okay.
The tribes have been duped.
Okay. All right. I don't think Bill's going to disagree with you on that one. Thanks, horse lady. Let me go to line two. Hello, you're with Captain Bill Simpson. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bill and yeah, this is Joel. I'm right here on I'm your neighbor. How are the horses handling? They seem to be a little smarter than the deer, but still, they got to go down and get water at some point.
What are they doing there?
Well, so far we've got springs and creeks that still have water in them.
Oh.
And I've got we have a big stock pond for all the animals, including my neighbor's cattle. There's a few couple straggler cattle ranchers that got a few heads. So they come by and drink and I'm keeping an eye out for everybody's livestock. So far so good. But again, we got to get that nasty, deadly sediment out of there. Because it will continue to poison the water. It is bioaccumulated, so that means you can have a low level of exposure, but over time it becomes deadly.
What about the fish, the 850,000 baby fish were released in, which creek was it released in recently?
Yeah, they dumped 850,000. That was according to Eric Jones, who's the senior. I have his card right here on my desk. Eric Jones was the senior environmental scientist for California's Department of Fish and Wildlife Natural Resources Agency, and I looked him in the eye, and he said they released 850,000 fall run Chinook salmon into Fall Creek, which empties into what used to be the upper end of Iron Gate Lake. So that's it goes down into the sediment flow here.
Now I'm going to ask what I think it's probably a really dumb, obvious question. Why would you release the baby fish or the salmon into something like that, into a dead ecosystem? Why would you release them?
Well, I think he knew there were. It's an agenda. They want to be able to say, I mean, you got this American Rivers, by the way, who's on the board of KRRC, giving away the American Rivers Award for the, you know, the, and they line up all the Native Americans for their photo op. It's all smoke and mirrors. So American Rivers is on the board of KRRC. So it's KRRC giving themselves an award, essentially, right? It's like ridiculous. And then of course they know it, but they're desperate to say there's fish back in the river. They'll do anything to be able to say that. And of course they know we have an inside man, because I knew days ahead of anybody else that they put the fish in. In fact, I took flack. People say, oh, Bill doesn't know what he's talking about. And then of course, same thing with the toxins. I've been talking about the toxins in the sediment now for months. Now finally Siskiyou County says, okay, they're in there. You know, the thing is they're worried now, because they know we have inside people that are giving us information, and that's why they had to admit they're all dead, because they figured we'd know that too.
It's 8:42. One more call. Just a astounding, well, either the incompetence or the corruption. I'm not sure what's the, well, it's probably a little bit of both. I don't know. Anyway, hi, you're on with KMED, KCMD, and Captain William E. Simpson. Who's this?
This is Jerry. So I was just curious, where are you going to put that toxic stuff?
It's a good question, and other people have asked that. Thank you very much, Jerry. And what was the original plan when they were going to dredge, Captain Bill?
Well, I don't know what exact location there, but they were talking about putting it into a desert environment where there was no watershed that it could leach into.
And was this in eastern Oregon, or was it going to be in Nevada, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably where I was. It's coming down to economics now. The reason they're planning it is that's the cheapest way to allegedly deal with it, right? But when you look at that objectively, you don't want poison. You don't want to lay that poison anywhere near the water. I mean, that's just the way it is. It will erode in. It's amazing how easily people are duped with these sounding good stories. You know, like, you know, they put the label on their company, Klamath Renewal Corporation. It should be Klamath River Destruction Corporation. You know,
hey, there we go. KRDC. I like that.
Yeah,
there's the new name. Yeah. It's not the KRRC. It's the KRDC, Klamath River Destruction Corporation. And by the way, we'll only have enough money to be able to do just a little bit, and then taxpayers in California and Oregon will be on the hook. Isn't that great?
Well, I talked to a law firm about this, a fairly large law firm. They have offices in New York. They got hundreds of attorneys. They said this is going to probably be a $1 billion lawsuit, what's going on here. $1 billion on top of the billion it's going to be to deal with the dams right now. And so we're looking at $2 billion. And I've been talking to some of your legislators up there, Bill, in Oregon, and some of the reps and the senators, and they're saying that a couple of them didn't even realize, their legislative aides didn't even realize that Oregon's on the hook for a lot of this money.
I know.
Which kind of shocked me, but I said, hey, FERC said you are. And in their order, they said that Oregon and California are on the hook for the direct cost, any cost overruns, and liability.
And so, by the way, Governor Annie Tuesom Newsom, and of course former Governor Brown, they were all part of this. They were all part of this. In other words, hurry up and do this, and yeah, and they more or less agreed to take that on, did they not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, right now there is an option that I haven't mentioned. If they just clean up the dams, put a coat of paint on them, whatever you do when you reestablish the dam, maybe put a fish ladder or a tunnel in and fill them back up with water and cover the sediment. They won't erode anymore. They'll seal up again. That clay will seal, and the problem will go back to where we were. Because before, we have baseline data that show the toxins were below the standard. As soon as that sediment's coming down now, they're way up. And again, Siskiyou County is only testing for a handful of things. The list is as long as your arm. When you read the CDM Smith Stillwater study from 2009 and 11, you look at the tables and the list of things they test for, and even though some of them are under the limits, it doesn't matter. As far as I'm concerned, they're bioaccumulative, and they get biomagnified in the trophic cascades. And these things, and they go into humans just like animals. Okay, so this is a problem, and the sediment's got to go. It's got to go. And people here who have been impacted, who've had their constitutional rights violated, because this should be eminent domain and it's not. They're devaluing and taking property and property rights and value, and they're not fairly compensating people. They stiffed them with this phony mitigation fund. Nobody's getting paid right. You know, you can't get a new well for $5,000.
Captain Bill, appreciate the report there. Siskiyou.news is the main place where most of this journalism is being discussed. Isn't that the case?
That's correct, yes.
All right.
Siskiyou.News. And my new article up right now is Sediment Test Selected for Klamath River Lake Sediments is Least Sensitive Available Studies Show.
Appreciate the talk. Wish we didn't have to have this. I was hoping that there was a way to save that that beneficial use of water. Of course, I don't know. Maybe it would be so expensive to have to move, even, you know, moving that sediment to a different place right now, that perhaps plugging up the dam again might be the best way to go. We'll see.
Well, they're rushing to dynamite COPCO 1.
For that reason, I'm sure. Yeah, to make sure. Well, we can't do anything about it now. It's all gone. All right. Yeah. All right. All right, Bill, we'll have you back. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Captain William E. Simpson, Siskiyou.News, 8:46 at KMED, KCMD.
Have you been putting off filing prior year's tax returns and worrying about the consequences? You need Pat Hurley on your team. He's a tax pro who fights for your rights in dollars. 774-1040. What an easy number.
KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Cerna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. A bill aimed at protecting kids on school buses passed both the Oregon Senate and House. House Bill 4147 would allow cameras to be installed on school buses to record drivers who fail to stop for bus safety lights. According to a press release from Portland State Senator Michael Denbro's office, law enforcement could then issue citations based off the recordings. It now heads to Governor Kotek's desk for her signature. And Governor Kotek is also speaking out in favor of a summer education bill. According to a press release, House Bill 4082 would provide $30 million in state funding for 2024 summer learning programs, as well as develop methods of securing future funding for other summer learning. Governor Kotek says summer learning accelerates academic achievement and reduces learning loss over the summer. The founder of Kids Unlimited Charter School, Tom Cole, says summer learning loss is a direct reflection of a lack of educational programs. And lastly, the Medford City Council is kicking off its second series of town halls. The city says council will be discussing updates from previous town halls on homelessness, transportation projects, current developments, and housing initiatives. They all run from 6 to 7:30. The first one kicks off April 3rd at the North Medford High School cafeteria, and the final one is happening May 1st at Rogue X. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Natalie Cerna.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
If you're turning 65 soon and need to learn about Medicare and your options for supplemental coverage, Lynn at Sky Park Insurance can help. Just ask Karen.
Hi, I spent 45-plus years in the health industry, so I wanted someone with expert knowledge. Lynn either knew the answer or got right back to me with details. She went the extra mile. Thanks, Lynn.
SkyPark makes Medicare enrollment easy. Enroll or review your plan with Lynn Barton at SkyPark Insurance. Call 541-499-0958.
March is Maintenance Madness Month at Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. We want to remind you to check your fluids at least once a month to help avoid costly repairs. When you come in for any service at Kelly's, we do a thorough inspection that includes pictures and videos of the good and not so good of your car that are texted and emailed directly to you. You then decide what to fix and how to plan for the future. Check us out at kellysautomotive.com. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle but take care of you.
Do you have shady friends? I have lots of them. This is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. As a certified arborist, I consider myself a bit of a tree whisperer. I can tell most of them just need a proper pruning to get them shaped up and going in a positive direction. Some, frankly, are destined for firewood, wood chips, and mulch. Call me and I'll come talk to your trees, then provide a free quote that's guaranteed. Find us at QualityTreeServiceMedford.com or call 541-821-8594.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
By the way, Quality Tree did pretty good work for us. They took out our birch trees. It was sad to see those trees go, but I have to tell you, when the storms come and the winds are blowing, I'm no longer sitting around. And Linda and I are no longer nervous, you know, sitting in the front, wondering if one of the birch trees was going to come crashing through the roof some night, right? Peace of mind, though. Love the trees. When the trees are dying, not so much fun. Okay? All right. Let's have some emails of the day. Emails of the day sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry and Dr. Steve Nelson next to the new Mazatlan Mexican restaurant in Central Point. It's a newer location, super comfortable place, good people, and it's a well-established practice for all your dental needs. They have so many positive reviews from all over the community and many sharing surprising experiences of how their dental visit was not like when they were kids. You'll be surprised, too. I go to Central Point Family Dentistry. I think you'll like them. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. It is definitely not like the dentist I had. And now, I don't know how old you are, but I first started going to the dentist in the late 1960s. Dr. Wempa. And he was obviously a doctor who went and became a dentist because it was good money. And that was the only reason. It was good money at that time. He was a former Marine, got out of World War II or whatever it is. And his bedside manner, not the bedside, but the chairside manner was not all that good. Dr. Wempa would be drilling on me or my sister, Diana, my brother, Mike. My mother especially had a problem with Dr. Wempa because he was one of those guys that would say, doctor, it's hurting. No, it doesn't hurt. Yeah, it does. No, it doesn't hurt. But, you know, there were a lot of dentists like that back then. It's not like Dr. Steve, but Dr. Wempa. I just remember there was a little bit of, I am your dentist, and he would go through there. But anyway, I digress. I'm going to give an email of the day to Randy in Ashland, who writes me quite often, but it's a good one here. And it's not just because he praises me, but he says, I appreciate that you are focusing on the local issues rather than spending all the time on the presidential circus. These three ballot measures proposed by the Marxists attempting to control local government are huge. They always put this stuff on the midterm elections or the primaries like this one, right, Randy? Since Republicans tend to sit those elections out, while the left is very good at organizing their base to turn out. And let me interject here, folks. That's why, of course, the Democrats put these charter changes, 17-116 in Josephine County, and the measures that are in Jackson County. I don't know what numbers they are yet, but that's the reason why they did them in the May election. Because they're less electable. You know, fewer people going in there, and they get the true communist believers out there that say, we need more democracy. Democracy for Democrats. Jackson County, democracy for Democrats only. That's really what this is all about, okay? Anyway, back to his email. Are votes for Jackson County issues counted locally or outsourced? My concern isn't so much that conservatives don't bother to vote. My concern is whether or not their votes are counted. Why is it necessary to put voters' names and party affiliations on the outside of envelopes? What happened to secret balloting? Did they do that when you sent it back in? I don't remember that, Randy. But anyway, we had a voting system that worked for more than 100 years. There was only one reason to change it. That was to allow for vote manipulation by authority that counts votes. But then just remember, government's prime directed. A directive, if it ain't broke, we'll fix it until it is. They have to justify their existence, so they go around chucking bricks through windows, enabling them to come back promising to fix what they broke. And, of course, every time they break something, it takes more bureaucracy to fix it. Will we ever learn? Randy and Ashland. As far as the votes are counted locally and then sent to the Secretary of State, okay? That's from what I know. And I'm sure the county clerk will agree with me on this one. Terry writes about the Barbie dolls. Bill, Barbie came out when my daughter was at the doll age. However, I instituted a rule that when I first saw the Barbie doll, no doll was allowed in my house that had a body better than mine. Well, it worked for a year or two, then every girl in the neighborhood had a Barbie. Sandy gave in, and my daughter got her Barbie. It's funny. Thanks, Terry. Appreciate your writing. Dan on the G.I. Joe ball, a doll, rather, says, Bill, I wanted the G.I. Joe, but Action Jackson was half the price, so Action Jackson it was for me. Laughing out loud on that one. Yeah, but remember, we boys, we didn't play with dolls. We played with action figures. So Action Jackson worked. Or if you had more money, it was G.I. Joe with lifelike hair and beard. And I think they also, didn't they have the karate chopping G.I. Joe at one point? I seem to recall that in the back of my mind there somewhere. Patrick writes in, Deplorable Patrick says, Hey, Bill, dump truck drivers prefer the sediment be hauled way out into the desert from the Klamath. Very scenic and lots of work for dump truck drivers for years. You know, Patrick, maybe what we should be doing is finding the investors to people to or the companies to invest in dump trucks. Okay, who would be providing the dump trucks? Invest in them. It might be a winning deal over the next few years, that's for sure.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local communities. As a small token of our respect and appreciation for their service, we extend our Heroes discount to all active or veteran military personnel and to our active or retired first responders. There is no way to completely repay your dedication to the protection of our country and communities, but we will do what we can.
It's home show season. The next one for Johnson Builders will be Southern Oregon Home Show at the Jackson County Expo in early May. But you don't have to wait to get low home show pricing right now for any building you need. From a small shop to a huge riding area, residential or commercial, Johnson Builders is the leading authority on post and frame construction in the region. So get a quote on your project and take advantage of special home show pricing. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
Well, you know it's Orly Stovin' Spas we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why, you ought to stop and see our friend.
Lamont here from Orly Stoves and Spas. Are you tired of those huge heating bills? Just to stay warm and comfortable in your own home? Then now is the time for a new wood, gas, or pellet stove from Orly Stoves and Spas. Orly's has Southern Oregon's largest inventory with over 400 stoves in stock now. Never be cold again. And for a limited time, receive a 30% tax credit on qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Are you ready for a relaxing spring and summer enjoying your new pool, swim spa, or hot tub? Then Orly's has everything you need. We are fully stocked on splash around above ground pools and accessories. Orly's is Southern Oregon's largest cow spa dealer with both spas and swim spas in stock now, as well as the shortest lead time of any dealer in the valley on any special order. Don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Orly's Stoves and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway, Medford.
Come see us at the Klamath County Home Show, March 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
You know, maybe the Klamath River would have been better saved if all of those wealthy Hollywood celebrities, I'm thinking of like the Jim Belushi types, maybe if they had had their houses on the Klamath. Wouldn't that have been interesting, huh? If they had built their mansions on the Klamath instead of on the Rogue. I'm just thinking, spitballing, okay? All right. Butch in Gold Hill writes, hey, Bill, where are those natural basalt barriers that were supposed to exist? They're still there, supposedly. Bill thinks that they were kind of hidden. All right. Now, to wrap up Conspiracy Theory Thursday tonight, Diana Anderson is having her event, and this is going to be at 5:30 Central Point Library. I know that we had a little snafu with the location last time around, but this is the 15-minute cities, and she is putting together climate-friendly, equitable communities, how it's all tied in, United Nations. Get educated. It's going to be, once again, tonight at 5:30 Central Point Family Dentistry, Central Point Library, pardon me, it's my sponsor I'm thinking of, all right? You know how it goes, all right. But anyway, Diane's going to be there at 5:30. Get yourself educated, and we'll talk more tomorrow on Find Your Phone Friday. See you then.
That's what you'll be shouting once you visit Artisan Bakery Cafe. This family-owned and operated team is delighted to serve you their best of the best delights every day. From bagels to assorted breakfast croissants to signature sandwiches.